Well, I did something tonight that I don't usually do. I listened to Christmas music on the radio before Christmas. And with that confession, I welcome you. Good evening, church, and good evening to you, Lord. Now, I can't remember the last time that I did this because, well, Christmas begins, well, tonight and follows with 12 days. But the thing of it is any of us, and I challenge you if you can, would be hard put to find any Christmas music on Monday. On Sunday at midnight, that's it. It's finished. And so if I wait for Christmas to start, I don't get to hear any Christmas music. So tonight I said I'm going to listen to a little bit of Christmas music. For the world, Christmas just sort of happens on this one day. And this time before has been expectantly filled with shopping and plans for good food and good friends. But how much of this time before Christmas, what we Christians call Advent, what part of that time have we set aside from all the busyness to really prepare our hearts and our souls for the coming of Jesus? Now let me be clear, Jesus coming into the world on the birth night, tonight, is only the beginning of the story, not the end. So you say, well, we know that, Barbara. Thanks a lot for that little bit of wisdom. We're going to hear all about Jesus' ministry going forward, and then we're going to hear about crucifixion and resurrection, and of course the birth is not the end of the story. And yet, how many of us, I'm not sure I always do, really take to heart the ongoingness of tonight's lesson? Much of the world will wake up on Monday morning and take down the Christmas decorations, put them into big red totes with green tops, and put them in the attic. Sweep up the pine needles, and Christmas will be finished for another year. And we've got 12 more days. How cool is that? 12 days of Christmas to celebrate. So I invite you to not take down your Christmas tree yet. Don't clean up everything yet. But spend these Christmas days, these 12 days, preparing yourself, preparing ourselves for another event that we so often just kind of put aside. And that's the event of the Epiphany. The night of the Epiphany is a night when another star shone brightly and led kings and wise men from far away to come and see the miracle of Jesus. Now we know that it took more than 12 days for this journey to be completed, but it makes sense in the concept of the church to have these events come close together because they're so intricately linked. And we'll know more about that next week as we talk more about the Epiphany. The night before the Epiphany is referred to Twelfth Night, and that's the final night of Christmas before the observance of the wise men coming. My point here is that the vastness of what tonight's event is way more, way beyond the Holy Family in a stable surrounded by animals. It's so much greater than that. I sometimes have trouble wrapping my head around how great it really is. So, not to state the obvious, but it's really cold outside. And as I have experienced this extreme cold weather, the image of Mary and Joseph traveling this time of year for such a long distance is mind-boggling. 90 miles. I could barely make it down the front steps when I was pregnant. 90 miles in winter weather, uphill and downhill, across a desert that this time of year is cold and wet and rainy, and at night is freezing. I get cold just running to my car. As we bask in the light of the wonder of tonight, Let us remember that Jesus coming into the world was anything but easy. The journey of his parents, where he was born, and what he had to face going forward, we know was fraught with all kinds of challenges and pitfalls and things that I can't possibly imagine. Now, we didn't read the psalm for tonight because we sang a glorious song, and that was good. But the psalm for tonight, I'm going to invite you to read it in its entirety when you get home, is Psalm 97. And the reason I bring up this psalm is because it speaks to the immensity and the glory and the importance of all that is embraced by tonight's miracle. It talks about the creation rejoicing, not just humanity, but the creation. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy, even the trees singing for joy. So before I say anything else, I'm getting really, I know. I'm getting kind of bugged here. You met her a couple of weeks ago. This is Wilhelmina. Now, Wilhelmina doesn't speak in front of groups, but she is adamant in me speaking for her, and I kind of listen to what she has to say, don't I? No? Okay, yes. So she has a story to tell you tonight, and I'm going to tell it for her. She wants to tell me, to tell you about her great, 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 great grandma. Her name was Wilma. And once when she was a wee little lamb, there was a really bright star in the sky. And it was so bright, it almost felt like daytime. There was singing, and an angel told the shepherds to go somewhere. It was a place that Wilma had never been. So the shepherds told all the sheep to get together in a circle and be still. One of the shepherds had hurt his ankle that day, and he couldn't walk, so he stayed with us to make sure we were safe. Now, as a wee little lamb, my great, 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 great grandma was not a very good listener. So she tagged along behind where the shepherds couldn't see her. When they got to the city, she was amazed. So many people. She heard someone say, "There is no place left to stay in Bethlehem. We'll have to sleep on the ground because even the stable at the inn is taken." My shepherds found their way to the stable where the star led them, and a woman beckoned me inside. And then my great, 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 great grandma couldn't see or hear anything because the shepherds were in her way. So she tip-hoofed up to the door and peeked in. And there in the manger was the most beautiful human child anyone could imagine. And even though it was cold and the box was hard wood, he was quiet and peaceful. When she told the story to the other sheep when she got back, she felt like she'd seen something so wonderful that had never been seen before. As the shepherds left the stable, she hid so they wouldn't catch her being a bad listener and followed them back to the field where the other sheep waited. That night, she stayed awake all night, remembering the face of that little baby. All the other sheep asked her to tell the story over and over again. Some years later, her not-so-many-greats, Granny Wisteria, was playing and not paying much attention to her shepherds. She loved to run and kick up her heels in the sunshine. her shepherd would come after her and say, "You're just like your great-great-great-grandma Wilma. You're not a good listener." But Wilma liked to run. It was so much fun. One day she was running, and she all of a sudden realized that she was all alone. And she was scared. She didn't know where she was or which way her flock was. And then suddenly, she saw her shepherd coming, and she jumped for joy. She kind of hurt her leg with that jump, and it was really sore. She was trying not to cry when the shepherd got to her. But in his most loving voice, he said, "Wee little lamb, you will be okay." And he lifted her onto his shoulders and carried her back to the flock. Wisteria was amazed that her shepherd had left all the other sheep just to come find her. And when he put her down, her leg didn't hurt anymore. And she looked into her shepherd's face and saw the same peace and love that her great-great-grandma Wilma told about on the face of the little baby in the manger in Bethlehem. I love to hear these stories that my grandma told, her grandma told. She tries to be a better listener, but sometimes she forgets, and her shepherd gently brings her back with his crook so that she will be safe. "I hope one day," she says, "that I will meet the good shepherd that Wilma saw born in a stable, and the one that saved Wisteria when she was lost and hurt." "Sometimes," Wilhelmina says, "I can almost hear my shepherd saying, 'I love you, Wilhelmina.'" We are God's sheep, and God loves us, and we need to listen for that still small voice that says, "I love you." And we need to follow the way of love that Jesus teaches. We need to be the person that God made us to be kind, even in the face of unkindness, to love, even in the face of dissension, to forgive others as God forgives us. So, like Mary, I invite you to treasure the words that you heard tonight in your hearts, ponder them in your heart, and choose goodness, choose kindness, and choose love. Amen.